Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings, Lord. I'm so thankful for our church family, for all those that are here today. Lord, I pray that we all came hungry to hear your word, to know you more intimately. Father, that you would meet us here this morning, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that we would not be distracted by anything, the worries, the cares of the world, of this life, but right now our focus would be solely on hearing your voice, that we might hear from you this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Tim, is the volume adjusted down there yet? Okay. If you guys want to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, that's where we're mainly going to be at this morning. Acts 12, Acts 16, and then jump around a little bit. Just kind of waiting for all the kids to get down there and the parents to get back, but this morning I want to talk to y'all about open doors. When we walk through them, when we don't walk through them, you know, sometimes it seems like with doors that if you think God's opened the door, you're just ready to charge right through, you know. And sometimes when we feel like God's opened the door, we don't want to go through. But I do feel like that there's sometimes that open doors don't necessarily mean that we're supposed to walk through them. Revelation 3:7 says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." So you think about that, okay? So what God opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open, okay? And so we've preached on this before, we've talked about this before, but today what I really want to talk to you about is knowing when you're supposed to walk through the door, okay? Because I believe that sometimes there's open doors that we're not meant to walk through. Acts chapter 12 is where we're going to start at. Acts 12 verse 1, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. Here you can see that King Herod was a people pleaser. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, then he was ready to keep going. He was looking for praise from men instead of praise from God. So, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. When I read that, and I don't know y'all, you guys know me, I'm just honest, I don't see a lot of earnest praying anymore. Not like this. Can you think of when was the last time you earnestly prayed for really anything? That you really, really, that it just, you were crying out to God, that you were praying for something. The night before, verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him, and Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." An open door, and he walked through it. That's a good thing, right? He walked through that open door because I think that they were ready to kill Peter. Verse 12, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhonda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." Okay, this really isn't the message. And I'm sorry I'm reading a lot this morning, y'all, but I kind of want to get this whole concept here. This really isn't the message, but I think it's kind of cool that they were praying so hard, so earnestly, and when God answers their prayer, then they don't believe it, you know? Have you guys ever done that? Have you guys ever prayed so earnestly, and then God answers a prayer, and you're like, you don't really believe it, you know? And I think I preached on this a few months ago about praying with an expectation and expecting to hear from God. And so I just think that this is amazing here, that they don't even believe that God has answered their prayers. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hands for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. So here was an open door. The angel had led Peter, and when I think about this, do we listen for God's leading in our lives? Do we listen for God's leading in our lives? The people didn't even believe that Peter was there, and oftentimes I think we don't believe that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to open up doors for us to walk through, that God is there to lead and guide and direct us. And it's learning to listen to God. I'm trying to figure out when I'm supposed to tell this story. I'll just tell it right now. Wednesday, if you guys have been here any amount of time, you know that sometimes I struggle with knowing who to help, when to help, and how to help. Okay, I love to help people in need, and this church loves to help people in need. You guys know anybody in need, let us know, okay? Because that's why we're here, okay? And when I say I help people in need, what I'm really meaning is this body helping people in need. And there's sometimes people, though, that we have found throughout the years that I've been here, and they repeatedly need help, okay? And it's trying to distinguish, do they really need help, or are they just trying to take advantage? Okay? We had a case this week of that, and I was really struggling, and I don't like making those decisions on my own. So I talked to Kyle. I talked to Tim. What do we do? We've helped this guy a lot lately. I was really impressed, and I know I got to be careful with what I say, because Tim records all of my sermons and emails them to people, and so I don't think this particular family will be getting an email. But I was really impressed a few months ago when we helped them. The church offered, I took them to the grocery store. I said, "Get about $100 worth of groceries. We'll go fill up your car with gas," and, you know, just, they needed just food for a couple weeks. And his wife was with him. They got like $50 worth of groceries. They told me not to worry about the gas, and that impressed me, because that usually don't happen. Okay, usually people, and then a few weeks later, he shows up again, and Tim took care of it. I didn't end up even having to go and take care of it. So anyway, he was back again this Wednesday, and I just didn't feel comfortable in my spirit, just something. I really didn't want to help him. You guys can throw stones at me now. I just didn't feel like I was supposed to. And I was struggling, y'all. I was struggling. And But after talking with Tim and Kyle and everything, I missed phone calls and everything else, we went to help him. I felt after I helped him, I knew why. I really wish I wouldn't have, but that's another story. But as it was coming out, I'm talking to the guy, and I see a car broke down, and it's a couple and a baby, like an infant baby, and it's cold, and they're broke down. Y'all, that's why God wanted me there. I ended up getting to help those people. It wasn't the man that we've helped over and over. It was to help this couple that's broke down with a baby. And so it's just learning to be obedient, and it's learning to hear from God, because God's going to put us in places. And the man that I really didn't want to help, I don't even think he was the reason why we were there. And it was funny because Crystal was sitting out in the car, and she said she saw this couple come out. She saw that their car wouldn't start. And she said, I just knew we're going to end up helping them tonight. And we did. And it was so awesome how God put us there. And then what was really neat about them, when we got their car running, I said, let me go fill up your tank of gas. Because they barely had enough gas. And they said, no. And they wouldn't let me. And that is cool to me, because most people, help me, help me, help me. And they said, no. But if I wouldn't have been willing to help the first man, we wouldn't have ever been at the grocery store. We wouldn't have seen that couple broke down. And y'all, you might think anybody could have helped them. There was already someone that had helped them and couldn't get their car going. And I saw them leaving. And it was just so cool how God worked it out. Y'all, it's learning to listen to God and allow Him to set us up in places and walk through those doors when we need to walk through them. But then the other side of that, flip over a couple chapters to Acts 16, is knowing when we're not supposed to walk through those doors. See, it's learning to hear God's voice. It's learning to know when you walk through a door or when you don't walk through a door. Acts 16, verse 16 says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we went by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. They were lying. All they were worried about is they've lost their money cow, so to speak. They lost this girl was making them this fortune, and Paul cast out the demon. That's all they were worried about, but they got the crowd going. Y'all, I see so much of that today in our news and in our culture and our society, where people want things a certain way, so they're going to lie or they're going to make the story fit and get everybody in a stir, get everybody in an uproar about this situation or that situation. But we're not talking about politics or anything else. Just be careful what you read, because there's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of things to get you angry. There's a lot of things to get you stirred up. And it might not even be true, okay? And that's what was happening here. The crowd joined in, verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Had they done anything wrong? No. They hadn't. They cast out a demon. They hadn't done anything wrong. They're stripped, they're beaten, severely flogged, and thrown into prison. And look what happened. about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I don't know about y'all, but if I was falsely accused, beaten, flogged, and thrown into prison, I don't know if I could sing. It's sad, they're singing and praising God, and half the time, we don't even feel like singing on Sunday morning in a warm church with great music and all this wonderful stuff around us, and we don't even want to sing. They're beat, flogged, and thrown into prison, and they were worshiping and praising God. What happens? Verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. You know what I'd see? An open door. God just caused this earthquake. Not only did the doors fly open, but my chains broke loose. I'm running. I'm leaving. I'm here under false accusations. They've already beat me. They've already flogged me. And there's an open door. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Y'all, can I tell you something? In our life, sometimes there's going to be open doors. Are we really supposed to grind through them, though? And it might seem like a miracle. It might seem like that God has ordained this, that God has set this up, that it must be God. But we're not always supposed to go through every open door. Verse 27, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Y'all, that's amazing to me. Because I'm not lying. If I was in that situation, I'd have been gone. I'd have been out that door so quick. And I'd have believed that it was God directing my steps. I'd have believed that it was God giving me a miracle. My chains fell off. The doors opened. How likely is that? We had just seen where Peter, the angel came and led him out and got him out of that situation. I would have thought, "All right, Lord, you've made a way." But Paul's still sitting there and tells the jailer, "Don't harm yourself." Verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why would he ask such a thing? Because he knew there was something different about Paul, because Paul hadn't escaped. Paul didn't act like the world. Paul didn't do what the world would do. And he said, and he knew that there was something different about him. Y'all, sometimes in our lives we have opportunities and jobs and dating and marriage and divorce and ministry and all these different areas of life that it might seem like there's an open door, that there's an open path. But the thing is what we've really got to do is learn to listen and learn to know, is that God opening the door? Is that the enemy setting me up? When do I go through the door? When do I wait? It's all based on learning to hear from God. Because Paul didn't take off, this jailer didn't kill himself, and then he says, "There's something different about you." And can I tell you something? At your work, at home, at with your friends, do they say, "Man, there's just something different about you. You're not out for number one. You're not out to undercut. You're not out to talk bad about. You're not out to hurt. You're not out for number one yourself, but you're willing to help. You're willing. Are you different? Are you unique? What must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Over one sinner. And because Paul didn't leave when the door was open, that jailer and his whole family became believers of Jesus Christ. And they're in heaven today because he didn't run through that door. Y'all, sometimes in our life, we need to stop and we need to think, God, is this you? Are we learning to hear God's voice? Are we learning to know God's voice? This week, I heard a story and I got home and I had my family listen to it. It was on Focus on the Family Thursday, and Friday was part two, and I hadn't listened to Friday yet, but it was this woman and when she was 12, she was at school, and they came and got her from school, and she got home, and there's police, and there's ambulances, and there's all these people at her house, and nobody's told her what's going on, and she's taken inside, and she said this woman that she knew, but she didn't really know her, grabbed her up and just wailing and bawling and squeezing her, and she said, honey, your daddy killed your mama and then killed himself. And said she was just so angry. She said, no, you're lying. My daddy loved my mama. He wouldn't do that. And said she just took off running out of the house and just crying out. And she said she'd maybe been to church once or twice in her life. She said she didn't. And she got outside, and I guess it was a farm or something, said she fell in the dirt and was just crying, and said she just began to cry out to Jesus. She said it was strange because she didn't even know Jesus really, and she just began to cry out to Jesus, and she said that moment Jesus came into her life and her life was changed. So she's got this ministry and everything, but so she's telling this story that she was at a Goodwill store and said shopping and said that there was this lady that was just angry and mad, got called to the front to check out, and she's a really good storyteller, I'm not. But she talks about this woman just being so rah and said, did you find everything you need? And she's like, yes and more, and said she was like, oh, and then she gets a phone call and she's yelling at the people on the phone, she slams down the phone, she's still checking out our items. Did you find everything you need? And said she's just full of all this anger, and she said the Lord said, tell her your story. And she was like, oh, Lord, no. This woman's mad. This woman's angry. The guy behind her was mad about something. She's like, this ain't the time, God. And she said it was just as clear as it could be. The Lord said, tell her your story. And I don't remember all the details of how it went, but she told her that she was a minister of hope. And the woman yells at her again. And she said, well, you know, I found Jesus. And she said, when my dad killed his mom and then killed himself. And said that the lady that was so full of anger and yelling and everything else, said her jaw just dropped. And she said it seemed like a pause forever. And said these big tears just began to well up in her eyes. And she said, I've never told anybody this, but my mom killed herself in front of me when I was 12 years old. And said she just pretty much the lady that's the evangelist now and travels around sharing her testimony just like gave her, like reached out to give her a hug and said the lady crawls over the checkout line, doesn't even go around, said her knees on the checkout line just bawling and weeping and hugging her. And she said, I got to introduce that lady to Jesus and the love of Jesus. And she said, it was in a situation that I thought, no way. A checkout line, an angry cashier, an angry guy behind me, and you want to share me to share my testimony, God? But God knows. God knows. It's learning to hear His voice. And it's not just when you see a door open to take off through it. Paul didn't take off through it. And because he didn't take off through it, the jailer and his whole household was saved. Now Peter, the angel directed him, and he went through the door, and it probably saved his life. Two different situations, both with open doors. One goes, one stays. What is it? It's learning to hear God's voice. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Wednesday night this week, my story wasn't that incredible as that lady at the Goodwill checkout. But I think it was my flesh saying, I don't want to take care of this guy. We've been taking care of him. But God knew. It wasn't even about that man. It was about them, that couple that's broke down, that had a baby there. Like I said, mine wasn't some dramatic story, people crying, people weeping, people getting saved. But it was an opportunity to show people God's love. And I think that in our life that's why we're here. It's those moments of hearing God's voice. It's not even those moments. It's that every moment of hearing God's voice and knowing, do I go through this door? Do I don't go through the door? Which direction do I take? Isaiah 30:21 says, and your eyes shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. It's knowing and it's learning to hear God's voice and Him saying, this is the way you go. Turn to the right, turn to the left, whichever way you're supposed to go, of knowing that God is directing our path. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm up here spitting now. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When I told y'all, and I could look back in my notes, it's probably been 2 months ago, to learn to listen to God's voice and to expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from God. And for me, God went silent. I was like, Lord, I'm preaching and I'm telling these people to expect to hear from you, and I'm not hearing anything. And you know, we're to walk by faith. But the reason why I'm saying all that is because if God seems silent in your life, what does He say? The Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Sometimes you're not going to hear the voice. You're not going to know, but the Word is always there. The Word is, does that make sense? I hope it makes sense, because sometimes I've experienced where God's gone silent in my life. Most of the time, I believe, and this is just for me personally, though, it's my fault. Because I've disobeyed, because I hadn't been seeking Him, because I've got a sin in my life that I'm harboring. But God wants to direct our lives. He wants to make us fruitful. To get the most out of every day, it's learning to hear God's voice. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See that lady at the checkout? God had a plan for her to be there that day. You know what she said? She was going to buy picture frames. And she even said, Lord, where would you have me go to buy picture frames? She said, you know, most of the time we pray, God, do I change jobs? God, do I buy this? God, do I do that? We pray about the big things. And she said, I'm trying to learn to even pray, God, where do you want me to go to buy picture frames? And God said, the Goodwill store. That's why she was even there. And you might say, Pete, that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. That God chose you. God chose me to go bear fruit. And that lady was able to produce fruit. God was able to produce fruit through that lady by her obedience, by hearing God's voice, by knowing she was right where God wanted her to be. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. Psalms 23:24, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. You know, sometimes I stumble. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes you may stumble. But it's a lie from Satan to think that you can't get back up and you can't keep going. But I want to encourage you, if you hadn't got anything out of this message today, I just want to encourage you with this. Stop and really try to listen. God wants you producing fruit. God has a plan for each and every one of us each and every day, from where we stop and get gas to what grocery store we go to. You say, Pete, really? Yes, really. You may not even know. Sometimes you might be in a... Sometimes, I know Kyle was talking about it not too long ago. I've said this before. Sometimes you're stuck in traffic and you think you're behind this slow person and you're like, why? God may be protecting you from an accident up ahead. God may... I had that happen not too long ago. I told y'all, I mean, I'm on the road every day. I see it happen a lot, but I had it happen not too long ago. And I got held up someplace and I was so frustrated. I'm in a hurry. And there was a terrible accident. And a driver was killed. And y'all, when that accident took place is almost the exact time that I go through that area every day. But because I was held up, I wasn't there. You might say, oh, Pete, you're just making stuff up. No, I believe it's God. We may not even always understand, but God wants to lead us. God wants to direct us. Are we willing? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we would truly take to heart your message today of knowing, to hear your voice, knowing when we're supposed to go through these doors and when we're supposed to stop, when we're supposed to wait. Father, that we would have such a relationship with you, that we would trust you, that we would learn to hear your voice. Lord, that even when it's hard, even when it seems like that the impossible is going on, even when it feels like we'd be embarrassed or it doesn't make any sense, Lord, that we would learn to hear your voice so much, Lord, that we would just obey. Whether it's telling a cashier, whether it's going and feeding someone hungry, whether it's opening a door, a smile, or Father, that we would be at every moment of every day anticipating and anxious to hear from you, Lord. That we would be seeking your guidance, that we might be fruitful, producing fruit that will last, producing fruit that matters for eternity. Lord, when Paul was obedient, the jailer and his whole household were saved. Lord, may we learn that obedience. That we might see our family, our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers come to know you. That just as the jailer seen that there was something different about Paul's life, Lord, that people might see that there's something different about our lives. May we live that out so that they want what we have. May we not be the complainers. May we not be the ones full of anger and full of nastiness and ugliness. But Lord, may we be full of joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and meekness, full of your Spirit. So people want what we have, and then may we be bold. Bold enough and obedient enough of when to share and how to share and what to say, led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that every heart in here would open their door to receive you this morning. If they haven't already, that they would receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, if they are your children, may they begin to receive instructions, Lord, through your Word and through your Holy Spirit, through hearing your voice. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, if you you need to pray for someone. However the Lord leads, listen now. The altars are open. Hard situation. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's at work. You know, Paul had been beaten, flogged, and put into prison. And the doors flew open, but he didn't go. And I just want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a bad situation, if you're in a hard situation, seek God. This might sound strange, but, you know, God might have you right there for a reason. Somebody's eternity might be at stake. It might be work. It might be home, but I can't answer that for you. Listen. I'm not telling you to stay, but I'm not telling you to go. It's learning to hear that we might be fruitful. So don't go home and say, well, I've got to stay at this terrible job. I've got to stay in this terrible situation because Pete said so. No, that's not what I'm saying. But look and see, is God making this happen? You know, I put in for a new job about 6 months ago, 5 months ago, something like that. And I kept praying. And every time I prayed, what I prayed for wouldn't line up. But I kept pursuing the job. I was, well, maybe. I went ahead and filled out the application. Okay, God, if this happens, then I know you want me to take this job. But if this doesn't happen and the boss pretty much told me it's my job if I want it. But I kept setting all these little things up. And God, if this happens, and every time I prayed and asked for something to set up, it never happened. I'm kind of slow, y'all. Finally, I said, okay, Lord. Ball-peen hammer. You don't want me to take this job. you don't want me to do this. But I kept trying to push because I wasn't sure. Like I said, listen to God's voice. Learn to hear from Him. We will have church tonight. I told y'all we might not. I decided to not go to that church tonight. So we will have our normal Bible study tonight at 6:30. And so see y'all this evening.
So praise God.